The following program, Divinely Powered, is sponsored by Unity of Chicago South and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
Okay, we are on. Are we on? Are we on?
We are on the air.
Okay, I think I hear myself. Does that mean that they hear me too?
Yeah.
Folks out there, they hear me because I hear me. Oh, okay, cool.
I hear you too.
Oh boy, and I hear you.
Ah, cool.
They hear us. It's all good. First of all, as you expect, the traffic report today. We have two different traffic reports. We have two different traffic reports on the same road. Now check that out. The same road. So, ladies first.
That just
first,
proves that the time you leave
that has something
is important,
to do with it.
Right?
That's right. Ladies first, or you want me to go? How are you?
Well, you know, it's like everyone was just mesmerized by the 81 degrees and the sun.
Okay.
So, my experience was they were watching that and not watching the traffic. And bicyclists were like everywhere. It's like, you know, bicyclists, you have your lane.
Right.
I got my lane. It would be really nice if we all stayed in our own respective lanes.
Speaking on life itself. If we all stayed in our lanes. But go ahead. So you had bicyclists?
So I had bicyclists going in and out of busy traffic.
Mm.
And so, you know, I'm a little spooked because this week I've seen two bicyclists hit. So I'm really, like, paying attention. It's like, Then I had people falling asleep against the wheel, behind the wheel. And then some not looking at the traffic, but pointing at the water. It's like, come on, people.
Mm.
Not while we're driving.
Well, I did share
but
a little trick with
it
you.
It did clear up after, I guess, North Avenue. It did clear up.
Yeah.
And it was smooth sailing.
Right.
So, except I did go behind that bus on Foster Street that like to take its time. But that's okay. It's a bus.
Well, same route. Totally different results.
Oh, the bus waited for me, huh?
Yeah. First of all, you know, I stopped taking Foster because it's so congested coming all the way over from the lake over here.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
it
so
is.
I started taking Lawrence, which is a little better. Yeah, Lawrence is a little better. Early on I was taking Foster. And then the trick for me is that when you get to Roosevelt Road, if you sense that the traffic is going to be a little tight going further north, I come off and take the inner drive when it's open. Sometimes they have events and it's not open, but I take the inner drive all the way up to Chicago and then take a left at Chicago back over to Michigan and then right back on the drive. And usually I miss that congestion right there. So today for me was very smooth, but I left a lot earlier than you because you had some things to do after service, and I kind of waited around, got things tightened up, and then I left. So my drive was better because of that. So that lets you know you can be going down the same road and have two different experiences because you are different people starting life at different points and different times.
It's terminal because we both made it on time.
Absolutely. None of it's terminal. I think today's lesson was so powerful with Reverend Nick. He mentioned the fact that letting go of the past and all of that stuff can be gone. And then the music that came on after him, which was totally unscripted, talked about being ready for new, whatever's new. I'm ready for the new. By Daniel
Naaman.
Right, that sounds right. So yesterday we had a workshop, and I want to take a couple of things from the workshop to talk about today, to share with you people today. Hopefully you'll find some interest in it. We have been working with manifesting and manifesting the things that you want in life. And both Reverend Doctor and myself have had experiences on the positive side, manifesting the things that we want. And she shared a couple, maybe I've shared a couple, don't know, I don't remember. But I found out, well, let me tell you the story first. When I first started teaching over at Johnny Coleman Institute, I was in a class, and there was a student there, I know him today, and he was like, you know, challenging. You know how people challenge the new kid on the block? So he was challenging and, you know, saying, you don't know, And so he said, well, doesn't Reverend Coleman teach that you're the thinker of the thing that creates the thought that makes the thing? And I said, oh, yeah. And, you know, kind of living that for the last 20-something years, that, you know, you think a thought and it's about how you think, and teaching that, that aspect of it, and mentioning every once in a while that there has to be a marriage between the thought and the feeling. But always the emphasis was on the thought. Well, dealing with Neville and the work that we've been doing all the last workshop and work and the class, I'm finding that some of the things that are not manifesting in my life are because I'm on the thought and I'm not on the feeling. And he emphasizes the feeling and how to work with it. And the workshop, yesterday's workshop, was really feeling is the secret. And he gets into it to such a degree that it's hard to argue with him. It's hard to say, ah, no, 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 that's not it. It's very difficult. And when you start questioning yourself, and I can understand many of you who are listening and have a preferred religious practice or spiritual practice, how you say, well, I'm in mine and I don't want to question it because it's comfortable, it's worked for me, I have a wonderful life, whatever it may be. We like to say there's always more, though. Whatever you have, there's always more. You can get more good or more of the drama. And when I looked at how he brought forth the importance of the feeling and the connection of the feeling with the subconscious, this is not new information. I don't want folks to believe that, wow, I just had an epiphany with this new information and you should go out and get it. It's not new information. It's information that you have an opportunity to have a fresher view of it. And as they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So the information is relevant at this particular point in time for me. The feeling part and the thinking part, when they're done properly, it's amazing. Basically, what Neville says is that when you do them in the order, and that's the month we're in, order, when you do them in the correct order, manifesting is automatic. It has to happen. Well, you know, you look at your life and you say, wait a minute, I've been thinking good thoughts and I've been doing this and I don't have my pile of money or whatever it may be. And I'm talking about me looking at it and saying, no, no, no. And then when you step back and say, okay, let me listen again or let me see again what he's saying. And when you read it again or you, again, hear it again, whatever it may be, you say, oh, I see. And if you're open and receptive, the obstacle that you have been creating brings itself forward. And you say, oh, I didn't know that I was my own worst enemy in my thoughts. And some of us are our own worst enemy in our thoughts. And I know some of you are sitting back saying, oh, poppycock. And you're probably saying some stronger words than that since you're in your own house or car. And you are saying, yeah. But before you drive off the road or do like Reverend Doctor said and start looking out at the water and stuff, before you start doing that, Just give me a moment. Just give me a moment.
So that's what was happening. They were listening to one of your lessons, and they were looking out in the ocean. I trying to figure out. Wait a minute. I got it that wrong.
I wish. but we will think a thought, right? And we'll say that's a good thought, and we've done that with the ministry. We've thought a thought. We've put it out there. And it didn't turn out the way we wanted. The turnout wasn't there. The DJ didn't do. We've had the experience of, we know that our thought was good. We know that. And we felt to some degree that it was inspired. But Neville says, that's good, but what did you feel about it? And it's like, well, you know, I thought I felt okay. No. And as I analyzed it, I thought the good thought, and then I thought all the things that could happen, and I said, no, they won't happen, but I thought them. You see, yeah, well, what if not enough people show up, but what if we're buying stuff that, so all of those thoughts are going along with the thought that, you know, want this great idea, whatever it may be. And as I go back and look at what he's saying, I'm saying, well, what if I had thought the thought and spent all my energy creating the feeling that I wanted to have based on the thought that I have? What if I put all my energy there, just right there, everything right there? I want to feel the crowd. I want to feel the people coming through the door. I want to feel the people sitting down, and I don't want to have any more thoughts, nothing. I don't want to think about possibilities. I don't want to think about nothing. And that's basically what he's saying. Okay, you have the thought that you want. Now you work hard to have the thought dropped or implanted or impressed upon your subconscious, because you're thinking on the conscious level, on your subconscious. And once you get it to your subconscious, you want to nurture it by feeling that the thought is already complete. And boy, when it really hit me, I was like, okay, I see my issues. I see my problems. I see the challenges. It's not that it wasn't a great idea. It's that the great idea never was impressed to the level necessary for the subconscious to bring it forth. Because I felt always that I had more to do with bringing the thought into fruition. You see, what else did I need to do? What else did I need to do? What else can I do? But at what point did I stop and say, you know what? Let me just feel the crowd. Let me just feel it. And it feels like, I mean, it's like, I don't know if I'm just can sit here and feel. That's not enough. And depending on where you come from, now we can go back to Mildred Mann. Depending where you come from, you might need to give some folks some forgiveness that taught you that you had to be a little squirrel and running around like a little chipmunk in the little wheel, going nowhere but running around because that looks good. I'm working hard. I'm working hard. I'm getting it done. Look what I did today. That's I did five things today to make this thing work.
And in everybody's way.
And I did nothing to feel the completion of the idea that I said came to me from a higher place, from a deeper source. Nothing at all to make it feel good. And go ahead.
But so that thought thing, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is what I find. So I, with me, and this has happened more than once. It happens absolutely every time I want to do something big. Mm-hmm. Every time. So now I know it's coming. So now I know what to do, right? So what I think people experience is something I experience. So you get the idea, mm-hmm. and you've got your pictures and your vision board and all those other things we like to do, right? And I actually like a little vision board. I put little pictures to carry with me in my journal and stuff sometimes, because it helps me to remember that I have something bigger in mind other than maybe strangling somebody that just got on my nerve. But anyway, it centers me.
A little piece.
It centers me, right? So, but as my friends just told me today, everybody that knows me is burning sage for me. So I don't know what kind of mood I'm in today. But anyway, what happens to me I'm okay with the feeling, but what I notice is the disconnect happens to me when I do the part of the feeling is a secret where you take it into your subconscious before you go to sleep. Okay, because I can have the feeling all day. I can see myself doing it, have a good time, but when I go to sleep and I take that feeling with me in my thought before I go off to sleep, most of the time, the stuff that show up is not stuff I know I invited. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see that.
Right.
And that's where I notice my disconnect. In the waking hours, I seem to have more control, okay? I guess people who know me know I would probably have more control.
So, understatement.
Okay. But that part where the subconscious is kicking in, and I'm thinking that thing, I have actually made myself wake up because that thought came up that said, there's not going to be that many people, or this isn't going to be good. And then I actually have gotten up saying, oh, no, we got to work on this because I cannot take that into my sleep. I actually then put my name on the forgiveness list, mm-hmm. and forgive myself and put down, and sometimes I put a name unknown, whoever or whatever mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is responsible for teaching me that I needed to play it down. You know, you have to, I've always been taught, I've got to play it down,
right.
That my whole personality and persona is just too big, so people just get so nervous and scared around me, so I've got to pull it back. Ooh. So I have to, so I've actually found myself, thank you, Mildred Mann, is putting that on the forgiveness list for as vague as it is, and forgiving whoever, whenever, and even myself for accepting that. And then it takes still a couple times of going back to sleep and recognizing that thought and working through that thought. You have to work that thought out. Mm-hmm. And then I go to sleep now in certain situations and think something like, oh, yeah, this is good. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. then I just go on to sleep. But it does take you recognizing that you have that. You're lucky if you can get it in the feeling state, as far as I'm concerned. I think okay. that's good because Absolutely. You get it before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
But it's disturbing when it just, you know, knocks on your door and you say, I really don't believe or feel that this is going to happen. So now I got to get up and work this out because we can't go to sleep.
Well, that's the idea, and we're going to take a break in a few. But the idea is that once you understand that, then you can work with it, because one of the things you said, and I definitely want to touch this before we go on break, is the fact that, am I good enough?
Right.
You see, there in many cases, there's a seed that was planted for whatever reason, you know, and I can kind of trace where some of my stuff came from because of where I lived and where we were and all of that.
Yeah, but, and I grew up in the South.
Yeah, yeah.
People who looked like me were still being hung on trees.
Yeah, well, so, that means you definitely don't want to be good enough then at that point. But the fact is that when we recognize this stuff, then we can address it.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two, I want people that do vision boards and have stuff all over the walls. I want to give you a secret about those vision boards and the sayings all over the walls. I want to tell you what they really mean, and we're going to do that when we come back. I think you want to hear it.
The money always seemed to run out before the end of the month. Every day's mail brought a new batch of bills. Money, or the lack of it, occupied most of my thoughts. I could see no way out of the struggle to make it through each month. Then, a friend brought me to her Unity Church. When I first heard that abundance is my birthright, I laughed. As I looked deeper, I realized I had been focusing on the problem instead of the possibility. I discovered that divine inspiration could lead me to an abundant life. As I let God show me the way, new ideas helped me use my money more efficiently and increase my income. I learned to give for the joy of giving, and my sense of abundance increased even more. I found abundance when I found Unity.
Sundays at 11 a.m., Unity of Chicago South, a non-traditional message in a non-traditional space to help you bring forth your divine potential. 7415 Southeastern Building, 11 a.m., Sunday morning.
Okay, if I'm a little late coming back. I was running down the hall. I heard the music. I started dancing at the door. I'm lying, but
that really it was didn't the dancing happen. Part yeah. that would, should have tipped you off, right?
Wait a minute. I said I don't sing. I did not say I cannot
okay,
dance.
Okay, that's right. Okay, you said didn't sing.
I don't right. sing. Okay, you don't want to hear me sing. You know, you'd rather hear me carry water in a bucket because I probably won't spill it as bad as I spill tunes. But... something that I neglected, and I do apologize to everyone out there, you can't join the conversation if you don't have the number, 773-763-9278. By text or by phone, you can reach us, join the conversation, be a part of it, and share what do you think about the idea that your feelings are more important than your thoughts. How about that?
And if you're my Facebook friend, you can find the call-in information on there, too.
Okay, there you go.
You can text this number that
Right, you could text it or call.
Right? So please text it, because we need to learn how to work it.
Yeah, that would help if we had a reason to work it. Now, I mentioned that I was going to share with you a secret about all of that stuff you have pasted on the walls, okay, all of those sayings. Mine is, I have a couple, not a lot, but just a couple on the wall to remind me that the me I cannot see, that's one of my favorite ones, and the instant God or divine instance.
Mine is I am enough.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. There's a song for you.
You
are enough.
Yeah.
Those are not for you to smile at. Those pictures, those pictures of the vehicle that you want to drive. So you get up in the morning and say, yeah, I'm going to be in that vehicle soon. I'm going to get in that. And you never get in the darn vehicle. Or when you go down to the car dealership, and I talk about this in talks, you go down to the car dealership and all of a sudden you're sitting in the car, you're smelling the leather, you're talking stuff to yourself. Yeah, I can see myself riding down the street with that. I'm boop, boop, I'm blowing at the honeys or I'm blowing at the fellas, whatever it is. It's not for that. The reason that that's not manifesting for you is because all of that is to support the idea of you generating feelings. How about that? It's to generate the feeling. So the feeling of how you're going to, what are your vibes going to be doing as you're driving down the street? How are you going to feel? Neville says, see it from the end. Okay, see it from the end. So start seeing me driving in the vehicle. Start seeing me stopping at the gas station. Start seeing me so I can start feeling, even feel that, dang, I bought this car and it uses premium gas. I didn't need to buy a car to premium gas. See, that's the highest gas. You got to feel
my case,
all of it.
That was too much for me. So I saw my husband getting gas, so that I wouldn't have to worry about that.
As long as you could feel it.
I did.
You felt him getting the gas.
I knew he was going to get the gas. Okay. That was never a question in my mind.
But you got to feel it.
That's right.
That's the key.
So,
you
but
feel
the car,
it.
Feeling the car, it's like,
it.
You have to, man, it was just like wonderful feeling that car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the picture helped. The buying a model of the car helps. Because you've got to work out how that feeling is for you. So how I feel it may be different. So you've got to work
that out.
And that's what they help you do is work it out. So ask yourself, so what are you going to do in the car? So how are you going to feel going to the grocery store? In my case, I literally said, well, I can't do grocery shopping in that car because the trunk isn't big enough.
Okay.
So, and I could see myself trying to put, and I says, oh no. But so you got to have to like Reverend Ken says, you got to feel. What are you going to do in the car? Feel yourself parking it.
Right.
I mean, feel yourself. What are you going to do when it's raining, especially if it's a hardtop convertible? What are you going to do with the car?
Right.
You know? How are the kids going to look when you feel when you let them see you take the top down?
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Not just supporting the thought. That's the key that a lot of times in metaphysics, my experience, I heard so much about the thought, thinking the thought, and then, you know, implanted it on the subconscious. But the implanted it on the subconscious is now clear to me that that's more important than anything else. That's where it comes forth. And when you mention the sleep, what Neville tells us about going to sleep is that make sure, and I know we've said this on the show over this year that we've been on, make sure that when you go to bed, 20 minutes, half an hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you can start with, read something positive. Listen to something positive. Do not go to bed with Trump on the brain. Just don't do it. That's not a good thing for you. Don't do that. Don't go to bed with the hurricane on the brain. Don't go to bed with the poor children are starving on the brain. Don't do it. You're not helping anyone when you do it. And most of all, you're hurting yourself because you're not allowing your subconscious to work on the things that you want it to produce, because you certainly don't want it to produce another Trump. You don't want it to produce more hunger for the children. You don't want it to produce or be involved in the tragedy of a hurricane. Those are not things you want. So those are not things that you want to take in to your sleep. You want to make sure the Bible people, read one of the scriptures that's positive about having something, the goal of whatever, coming down or whatever. Read something positive before you go to sleep to give your subconscious a chance to reproduce that positive thing that you've gone to sleep with. When you don't give it a chance, it will take whatever you have put upon it, and you don't even know what it was.
So I go over my gratitude list when I go to bed. It's really easy. What things am I grateful for today? Now, I already wrote a gratitude list that morning, but in the evening, what am I grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what went really, really well, or what made me feel really, really good? Because some people don't want to read something. And I have found that by the time I get to the third thing that I'm grateful, I'm asleep, and then it is the best night's sleep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're able to do that, any technique that's going to move you from the negative into the subconscious, and then you can get to a point that you can see the car before you go to sleep, or whatever it may be, the house, the car, the bank account. You can see that, and you can start bringing that into the pre-sleep subconscious state. That's a good one. I just thought of that one. I like that. I need to write that down. The pre-sleep subconscious state.
Now, we know some scientists is going to call us and tell us what the technical term for that is. So
it's pre-sleep.
So we're excited to get your call at 773-763-9278.
Or you can text it in if you're busy.
That's right.
I understand it's football time, but you could text it in between. Those commercials, they're long and they're not very interesting. It's not like the Super Bowl. Even that was not too good last year. But anyway, so that's number
especially
one, to sleep. No more, what do they call it, equipment malfunctions like they had years ago. But anyway,
Prince. What can I say?
that is a moment for Prince. Okay, and now, the next thing is to pray. Now let's go back to the sleep. When you have elevated yourself, so you're taking into your sleep, into your dream state, positive information, and now you say, okay, now I'm positive. Now what? Now you want to start working with seeing whatever it is that you want, having it. Not seeing you getting it, but seeing you having it. Seeing the car and you're shopping and the children are in the car and the top is coming down. Seeing you in it, having it, not getting it. That's where a lot of us, and I will put myself in it, we get messed up because we bring in, okay, how am I going to get this done? You're not. Stop it. You can't get it done.
The how is not your business. As my grandmother used to say, child, you got to leave something for the universe to do.
Yes, well, the how is exactly.
And the how is what you're going to leave for the universe to do. That's not your job.
So I'm working with my staying out the way of the how. I'm working with it. But it's hard because change is challenging. And especially when you didn't realize what you were doing to interfere with things happening for you. And you say, well, it couldn't be my thoughts because I think all these good thoughts. It's like, no, you got some problems.
So when you're dealing with the how, it's as Edwin Gaines would say, the dream isn't big enough because the palms of your hands aren't sweating. So if you think you can handle the how, you need to dream bigger, okay? Because the how is only going to come to you to your level or ability to execute. So let's get out of what you can do. Ask for something bigger, something that you know you can't tell the universe how to make it happen. And that's what I did with my car. It's like, and then my MBA. I knew I couldn't come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to give up the how, not a defeated kind of give up, but just hey, God, I don't have nothing for you, okay? So then you're depending upon the universal substance to do what it's supposed to do because you need to do your job.
Well,
which is the thoughts,
you're doing
which
that.
Is living it.
This is, let me share this with you because you said something very powerful there.
Okay.
Allowing the universe to do what it's supposed to do.
Right.
But it's doing it anyway, and
that's
you're
right.
feeding it crazy
exactly.
stuff so it gives
exactly.
you crazy back. It's,
exactly.
You can't change it doing. It's going
that's
to do
true.
Way it.
That's right. It will give you crazy if you're thinking crazy.
Right.
If you believe and feel crazy, it will give you crazy.
Yes.
Okay? Because it doesn't know the difference between...
Absolutely not.
If what you want it. It's like if you keep running around here saying, oh, I'm so broke. It's like it says, you know what? God, they keep talking about broke. So that promotion or that lottery numbers they were going to get, we better stop. They want to be
mm-hmm.
broke.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what makes them happy. So
we
talk about it like we're happy.
You're right.
It doesn't know the difference. So you do have to feel it. You need to take it to the dreams. You write about it. I mean, some people record videos or audios about it. There's so much more now that you can do. And maybe that's part of the issue, I was just thinking, is we have so many more ways than were available 20 years ago.
I don't think that's the case.
So maybe
because some people are still not getting it. They didn't get it 20 years ago when it was only a few things. I can testify to that.
Now you can do a lot of things to feel it, to see yourself in it. You have got to see yourself in it,
and
see yourself doing
it.
And you've got to feel how it feels to you.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. Now, the number here, 773-763-9278, if you'd like to join, if you'd like to contribute in any way about what do you think the impact of feelings are. But
I just had a thought from The Blind Side. There's a scene in The Blind Side where Sandra Bullock is holding up the shirt saying, well, you know, you may as well try it on because if you don't feel pretty in it, when you get home, you're not going to like it either. So you got to feel good at it.
Absolutely.
That's right. Got to feel good at it.
There's a little sign, you know, when they started with the international signs, and you have, smoking, like you have a cigarette, mm-hmm. then it's a circle around it, then it's a line through it, and that means no smoking, okay? I would suggest to people who have not reached some of the goals that they want and they really believe that this goal is for them and they are not quite sure on how to go about it, they still want to interfere with the how, you know, I have to do this work because I was trained. I must do something, and not waiting to be guided to do it. I say that you write how, put a circle around it, and then put a line through it, and continue to look to realize how is not my business. You know, no how here. I'm not concerned about the how here. Remind yourself that you're not concerned about the how, but remember, when you do that, you are committed to work. So you can feel it. Now, he talks about prayer, too. He talks about the sleeping. He talks mm-hmm. about prayer. He talks about the importance of feeling. And this workshop will be repeated next month. The date is not set yet, but we should have it next week. But prayer. When you pray, and I believe, and I know it. I say like, you know, just in case there's a mistake. But Scripture does say, pray as if you
pray
have
believing.
That you already have it. And
when
that
you
if
pray,
you pray
believe
that way.
That you have received them and you shall have them.
And that's part of the prayer. Okay, so if your prayer is, please give me, you can understand why you may still not have it and still praying to have it because you're saying, please give me. But you, again, he's telling us, Neville again is telling us to take that feeling of having. Of accomplishment into your prayer. So you have it in your sleep, you have it in your prayer, you have it in your mind. You understand? All of this is to do one thing, and that's to impress the subconscious so it can get busy doing the how of achieving whatever it is you want. 773-763-9278. I know some of you are saying, man, I don't even want to call. I just want to hear more about this stuff because there's some things in my life that I want, and you're telling me now, that I can have them, and the price is I have to start feeling like and believing that I already have them. That's all I have to do, and I'm saying, hecky to the no. That's not all you have to do. That is what you have to do, and believe me, that's the most challenging work you'll ever do in your life. To take you from I don't have anything to eat to saying after I eat this steak, I can feel myself belching, the steak coming back up, tasting it in my mouth, I can taste the charcoal, and you're hungry. If you think that's not difficult to do, then you are fooling yourself. But what is happening is you are now learning a technique that works on a metaphysical level, and I'm going to get the doctor here in a minute because she saw it being presented on a of science level.
I did.
Right. Talk about that.
So I was flipping through the channels because my favorite television show had already aired all of its episodes for this season, and I needed something to watch. So I'm really big things. So I saw The Mind Explained, and I'm really big on how science is now intersecting with metaphysics.
Right.
How they're showing to us the proof of what we say and how it happens. And there was this first part, this first segment that talked about dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first 25 minutes of it, they talked about, they went from the different beliefs about dreams during while on Earth. So some felt it was useless, some didn't. And sometimes that feeling they were useless came from some person who was a scientist and had a lot of respect. So so they went through it. And in the last 7 minutes, they talked about the fact that dreams, your sleep, allows you to work out things and ways of achieving things because it doesn't have to deal with the obstacles that you put up in your waking life. So it helps you see new ways to accomplish things, helps you see new ways to even think about a thing that you want to accomplish. And I thought that that was pretty cool. I says, oh, my God, that's Neville all day long.
Right.
Because that's what you're doing when you go to sleep. You just take the idea, the feeling, the thing that you know that you have decided you're going to accomplish, and you take it to sleep. So there's no battle between the subconscious and the conscious and the subconscious. Yeah. So you just... It shows you how it's going to be done, and you wake up, and generally you'll get a couple of ideas about something to do, and lo and behold, somebody will call you or you would be in the right place. I mean, the universe is really busy. It works it out for you, but you were able to drop your guard. You're able to drop your guard while you're sleeping so that it can work it out for you. So if you take a negative thought with you, a negative belief with you.
Yes.
It's going to work that one out, too. So you'll find more and more reasons and things to feel that you're unworthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't care. You are the driver. You decide. And when we understand that, we decide what we want to accomplish.
It looks like we have a caller. Can you see?
Yes. Sure. Jennifer from Batavia. She has a question.
Yeah,
hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi there, Reverend Doctor. Yeah, I came a few weeks ago.
And, yes.
Thanks so much. You're just... excellent. I love listening to you every week. And I think you're right on track from everything I've read and stuff with the motion. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the worthiness part? Because I think that's a part that, just like the feeling worthiness and all that.
Yeah.
My son here in the back. Sorry.
Okay. Well, make sure you let your son know that he's worthy from this point on, because that's so very important.
And right.
Okay, Jennifer, thank you so much for being there. Thank you for the call today, all the way from Batavia.
That's right. So I find when I'm working with people that all of us have some version of I am not worthy running through our lives, okay? So, and what begins to happen is generally parents have taught us lessons that worked very well for them because depending upon your age or where you grew up, some of those lessons were really taught to keep you alive.
Absolutely.
Okay? And that's all they were taught for, to keep you alive.
Right.
It's like, so in my case, it was, I grew up in the South and in Arkansas. So there was a lot of racial violence.
Okay.
So the idea was to stay alive. Now, I was smart and outspoken, so keeping my mouth closed was not anything that I was really good with doing, not now.
Especially not now.
Especially not now, right. So I was always taught to be quiet, to not show the kids up in class, to just sort of shrink.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea was to stay alive, to grow up.
Right.
So but that wasn't the message I got. The message I internalized was I wasn't good enough, I wasn't worthy enough, I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't any of that, so what became a natural academic gift from the universe actually started to look like something I was going out of my way to overachieve.
Right.
So I had to deal with that part all my life. So anytime something good happened, that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I don't deserve this, I've got to give this to somebody else, I have to help somebody else. So my life turned into somebody who was always giving and helping to others, even to my detriment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can imagine what happened to any money that came my way.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't keep any money. You can imagine if I got a good grade, it was never I deserved it. It was it was always something else. I didn't deserve it.
Right.
So I've worked through that, though. So that's how it shows up in my life. I generally find, since I deal with finances with people, I find that that is the thread that runs through anyone who's having financial trouble.
Well, yeah, not just financial trouble, just in general. I was able to trace mine back to the unworthiness, and it was really strange because my grandparents, who we lived with, were not at all unworthiness, didn't teach unworthiness, but somehow I developed it, and it's a long story. I won't bore the audience with it. But once you find out that this thought is inhibiting you from achieving what you want, it's a Chinese, and I say this in lesson in our talks, It's either Chinese or Turkish, because folks say they've never heard of either one proverb. But it says that once you, it's okay to build a house in the sky, build a castle in the sky, but you can come back later and put a foundation on it, under it. And a lot of people spend their time with the foundation. I have to learn some more. I'm not worthy to go forward. I'm not ready to go forward, whatever it may be. But if the idea is there, take it. Allow it to come forth, and you can always go back and deal with whatever it is that you need to support it. So what does that mean? That means that I may have this unworthiness, I may feel this unworthiness, but here's an opportunity in front of me. I can wait to feel worthy, or I can take advantage of this opportunity. I can go forward with it and then come back later and say, you know, I didn't feel like I was worthy to get this position, to get this job, to get this whatever, this business or whatever, and I need to work on that. But don't allow it to stop you from going forward and right. getting it. So many of us will say, I'm so unworthy, I just won't even take the chance. And believe me, one of the things they say about ministers, if you ever watch the duck, it's a duck that's on, a meme that's on Facebook, at least it was, and at the end the duck says, after he says some very profound, after he curses a lot, the duck says, why do you think they're ministers? That's because they've gone through all of this mess in their life. They know all this crap.
Right.
So I've gone through all this crap. You know, I didn't come out with it. I came out, you know, being who I am, and then I came to be what I am later. So it's not about speaking from an ivory tower. It's about, yeah, I've been through it. I know you can go through it. You can get through it. I know you can get to the other side. I know you can get past your mistakes. I know you can do some really crazy, crubby things to people, and you can get on the other side of it. It doesn't make you proud, but you can get on the other side. But if you allow yourself to be taken down by those ideas, then you'll never get to where you want to go. Do we have another? Is that another call there? Or the same? Okay. That's good. So I think we don't have a clock here.
Man. That's what the last show said.
It's time for... Oh, okay. It's time for... See, you don't need a clock when you have a producer who's on the top of this game. And the top of the game says, give us a call at 773-763-9278 or text us at the same number after we come back.
Confucius said that to be wronged is nothing unless you continue to remember it. If we can let our past remain in the past, we are not compelled to endlessly reenact it. If we seek to understand the situations in the other person's life and put forth the effort to walk a mile in his shoes, we may be less quick to take offense at what may be directed toward us. Understand that forgiving does not mean excusing, but dwelling on past slights or offenses can never help us grow. Unforgiveness always diminishes us. An African proverb says, "The one who forgives ends the quarrel." You can be a powerful agent for healing. Let go of old hurts. Let the past be the past. Forgive.
Release the pain of the past and allow yourself to move into the potential of the now. This is Reverend R. Ken inviting you to come out to our life elevating experience at 7415 Southeast End Building, 11 a.m. on Sundays. As we boldly build spiritual community, Unity of Chicago South, 7415 Southeast End Building, 11 a.m. Hi, this is Reverend R. Ken. Just to remind you that you change your potential by changing your approach, and forgiveness is a way to change your approach. Okay, you know, every once in a while, you should summarize what you're saying. Actually, there's a school. You go to school, you go to ministerial school, and they give you all these little pieces that you're supposed to do. Every 3 minutes, you're supposed to do this. Every 5 minutes. I break all the rules. I've always broken all the rules, so why stop now? But I want to just kind of revisit what we've said, a little bit of what we said today. Number one, if, in fact, healing of any type, if it's a physical healing, if it's a financial healing, if it's an emotional healing, you have to feel healed. That will help you. Let's put it that way. That will help you. So how will you feel when the healing manifests? because that is really what we're doing. We're talking about whatever it is we want to manifest. We don't co-create, and you know, I'm gonna get in trouble with my New Thought brothers and sisters. We co-create. We don't co-create anything. We don't have the ability to co-create anything. What we do have the ability to do is to manifest anything that we want, and we do that through a process, through an orderly process. And now we're learning that that process is, yes, you get a thought, you think a thought, wherever it comes from. I'm not going to argue with you about that. It's a divine thought. It's something that came up from your subconscious that you wanted when you were a little baby. I don't know. Don't care. That's not the point. The point is you get a thought. From that point on, your work is to take that thought and impress it upon your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is about feelings. It's not about the pictures that the conscious mind deals with. It's not about logic, which the conscious mind deals with. It's about bringing forth. It's the how in your life. So you get it to the how, and then you get it the heck out the way. You get it to the how, but your work is getting it to the how. And anything that we haven't manifested that we want means that we never got it to the how. And anything in our lives that we have, even the stuff we don't want, some way got to the how. And the subconscious did what it's supposed to do. It does not judge your dumb ideas. It does not judge my dumb ideas. It doesn't say, R. Ken, that's the dumbest idea I have ever heard, ever had impressed upon me in my life. It just says, oh, that's what you want? This is how I can get that for you. If you do these things, you'll have it. And then we go out and do the stupid stuff and say, why did this happen to me? You did this stupid stuff to allow it to manifest in your life. So the feeling, the next thing is sleep. Do not take sleep lightly. That is an area that you can really get in the business of manifesting the things you want. And then finally, prayer. And that's just a capsulizing of what we've done today. And if you're on the South Side, and I love Jennifer from Batavia coming all the way out there, but you people on the South Side, I just want the people that don't have everything they want. Now, the people that have everything they want, they're doing well. I mean, it's good. I mean, they could buy Chicago if they went to the bank. You know, they could write a check for the city if they wanted to. God bless you. But the other folks, the 10 other folks that are not where they want to be in life, if you're in the South Shore area and you don't come out to the workshop next month, you only have yourself to blame. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't cost you anything. You're not recruited. There's no evangelizing going on. It's merely saying, let's help ourselves get to another level as individuals. Now, I'm just saying, if you don't come out to it, that lets me know that what we're doing doesn't make any sense because nobody wants to grow. That's what it means. Or everybody's sitting on their ass thinking it's going to come over the internet. Huh? Anyway, Doc.
We're going to catch it in those commercials and between all the television work. We're just going to get it. And somehow we can watch all those shows and they'll teach us how to feel about it. The only problem is we feel what they feel about their stuff. Okay, so you got to be careful about that feeling. So we feel how they feel about their stuff. So you're actually going to bed helping the Kardashians get really, really rich because you're thinking about them and their stuff.
Monster. That's monster.
Because it's all energy. So you're putting all of that energy over there for the how to deal with. So how about if you just pick one thing? Just one thing. So when people get the news, they try to pick 30 things. Just pick one thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And work out how you feel about that.
One good thing.
One good thing.
Please.
Right?
Yeah,
one good thing. Okay. Yeah. And work out how you feel about it. Now, if you got to write it out, if you got to record it out, if you got to watch pictures, just work out how you feel about that. And how you feel about it, like, how are you going to feel when you get up in the morning? How are you going to feel if you've got to go to the grocery store? How are you going to feel when you're cleaning up about it? How you feel going to go to work? Just pick some scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
How you feel about it. And then, before you go to sleep, think about that, along with the things you have to be grateful for the day. Read something positive.
Absolutely.
You know? And go to sleep with that on your mind. And then when you have your prayer sessions or your meditation sessions, you want to think about those things during that time too. You know, bring them with you. You don't have to like worry God about it, but you know, just so that you have it on your mind.
Wait a minute, hold on. I don't like to stop you because you get on a roll.
Oh, I know.
A good roll. But if you're thinking about you already have it,
exactly,
then you won't be worrying God or anybody else because you are, your thoughts
That's
are,
right.
I already have it. So
right.
it's not. I don't have to ask anymore
right.
because I have it
you
now.
You have it. And that's where you're working from the I have it.
Yes. Yes. Because you can't get it until you have it.
Right.
My goodness.
Right. You have it. And you will find, but then now, okay, because then the real world starts to work for you. So you can't be saying no to everything that come your way either.
Listen, sometimes you start with an idea, you do the work, and you impress your subconscious, and your subconscious says, yeah, that's good, but I think we can go bigger.
Right.
I think we can go bigger because what you really want right now, I got it, but, you know, when you get there, manifest, you know, it's not going to be what you think it is, but I know what you want because you've impressed me, so I'm going to give you what you really want, what you really,
exactly.
really want. And when it says that, and it says, go do this, as Reverend Doctor says, it says, go do this, and you say, oh, no, I didn't want that much. I just wanted up my bank account $100.
Right.
You're talking about a $10,000 deal.
I just need rent money this month. Right. Yeah, you're talking about $1 million.
Yeah,
What's wrong with you?
No,
I don't know what to do with that.
No, I can't do that. And look it, until you feel it, you're right, you can't. Even if it gives it to you, you're really right. You can't do anything with it. And you look up a year later or less, and all of a sudden it's gone. And you say, see, I told you I couldn't do anything with it. And you're right. You're right. There's no doubt about it.
And a lot of us pray for a lot of money. And the thing that we have to, and then we get it and we blow it and we wonder why. It's like, well, you didn't have the consciousness for the money because you didn't know what to do with it when you got it. You got the signs and the messages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just said no.
Right.
So when that thought came across to see a financial planner, you said, no, they'll just take my money. When the thought comes across for you to set aside money for retirement, you say no because you don't believe it. So stop. Be careful what you say no to, because you've got to be sure you ask for this. You're going to get it. So you need to make us proud and do right by it.
Yeah, and make yourself happy,
make
too.
Yourself
well,
happy.
We're proud. You should be happy. You know, it brings to mind saying, okay, let me work out this thing. I'm going to work out these numbers. I'm going to work out 1 + 1 = 2. And then you work it out. 1 + 1 = 2. And you get to 2. You say, I don't like the answer.
Exactly.
But if you just work it out, work the formula out, it's going to give you the correct answer. Don't worry about the answer. Concern yourself with the process of learning how to add 1 + 1. Concern yourself with the process of having an idea and impressing the subconscious with it. Don't worry about the answer. The answer's going to be correct.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. It's going to be, it might not look good because you said 1 + 1 = 3. And you look at it and say, that says 2. That's not what I had.
not what I had in mind.
But you had the wrong idea in mind in the first place. So just stay with the process. Okay? All right, so we're talking about have a thought. Work on impressing it on the subconscious mind. Use sleep. Use your prayer work. Use your meditation so that you can develop a feeling. Nothing more than feelings. See, I told you, you didn't want me to sing. Nothing more than feelings. That's what you're trying to do, and don't let anyone take that away from you. You can't feel it. Hey, get the feeling, and then you'll get the work done. Whatever you need to do will come from that. Don't let anybody take that away from you. I say that from experience. I know people who have worked and worked and worked, and they didn't know what the heck they were doing to try to get to where they want to go. Until next week, we'll be back, I think. Yeah,
yes,
this is
we
September.
Will.
September, we'll be here all September.
We'll be here all September. Yes, we will.
We play here in September. Reverend Doctor Stephanie Wilson Coleman, Reverend R. Ken Turner from Unity of Chicago South. We love you. I hope you love yourself as much. You can check our website out, unityocs.org, for any information you need. Blessings and bliss.